Guess what time it is? It's teacher time. This is Every Child's Champion podcast, and I'm Sarah Beach, your host. The beloved educator Rita Pearson said, "Every child deserves a champion, an adult who will never give up on them, who understands the power of connection and insists that they become the best they can possibly be." And that's the purpose of this podcast, to support and encourage you, the real children's champions out there, who do understand the power of your connection and who don't give up on those kids. And that's why you're here, right? Well, we've got a lot of good stuff in store for you. So sit back, buckle up, let's get going, champions. Woohoo! So welcome. I'm talking with Katrina Ferris today. Hi, Katrina.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We're going to talk about infants and toddlers and parents today. And Katrina, just to give you a little intro about Katrina, she's the director of early childhood for Mattoon, Illinois School District, right? She's a special ed teacher from way back. And the reason I have her on this podcast is because she developed this program herself, the Infant Toddler Birth to Three program in Mattoon, Illinois. And tell us how big that school district is, basically.
Oh, wow.
Or how big is the city of Mattoon?
You know, I don't know the population.
Oh, that's all right.
Two very large elementary schools. They've all combined the schools together into two very large ones.
How about the early childhood program? How many classrooms and et cetera?
Sure. There are 8 early childhood classrooms with the school district, plus there's Head Start and some private preschools.
All in one building?
The school districts is all in one building. It takes up a whole building. And then there's private ones and Head Start out in the community.
Wow. And so a little bit more about Katrina. Katrina started this Birth to Three program several years ago, and I'm going to be asking you some questions about your program, because I think it's something a lot of early childhood pre-K administrators would love to do, to sort of move into the infant toddler arena. But it's a scary thing, you know, knowing exactly what kind of a program to put together and where to house it and will people come to it, et cetera. At any rate, I did want to ask you about this program because just what I know so far is you've had amazing success with it. I mean, I've known you, I've seen you over the past 3 years or 4 or 5 years, actually. When did the program begin?
2018.
Okay, so it's been like 4 years and it's kind of gone gangbusters. So tell us about how you decided to create this program, why you decided to do this for the district, and sort of what your goals or objectives were.
Well, I have, as a preschool teacher, always encompass the entire family, not just the child. I find that to be like most important for the child's educational career. Supporting the family, the parents, you see great success with that. So in doing that, the district decided to, you know, let's look at this grant. Let's do the Prevention Initiative Grant and form a Birth to Three program. It took a while to get, you know, it on its feet. I spent part of a semester teaching halftime and going to trainings and touring other programs and just kind of gathering information to start it. When I started it, it was just me. I was home visiting 5 families. I then hired another home visitor, and we now have a caseload of 69 families with a wait list.
Amazing. Wow. So how many home visitors are there now?
There are 3 home visitors. We have a secretary that does screening / secretarial and helps with home visits. And there's me.
Wow. And so you don't do the home visits anymore yourself?
I do some home visits. I focus on teen moms and the high need families.
Okay. So you kind of divided your families up amongst the 4 of you. So 69 families. And are there a lot of teen parents?
We do. Yes, we do have a quite a few. It kind of fluctuates. The teen parents are near and dear to my heart. We've worked with teen moms, teen dads, where they're together, not together. It's just very near and dear to my heart. We actually noticed that they were struggling to be able to be part of the program, attend school, keep their grades up, and most of them work a full-time job outside of it. So I was able to work with the high school, and I go over on lunch hours and eat lunch with them and visit them. But I really felt like I wasn't really getting into teaching them much about like the child development, their milestones, things they could be working on. So I created an online module course where it is very individualized, meaning they start where their child's at. So if their child's 4 months, they're going to start right at the 4 month mark. And they do earn high school credit with this as well. And we are currently working on starting like a little support group for several of them to get together.
That's awesome.
It is. We do have some that are in high school, some that are not. We're, you know, really promoting them to get back into school or earn their GED. But we also have some that just happen to move into this community and that are living here that we've got to know. So
you created a course for them, mm-hmm. an online class for them.
Yep.
So how did you do that? Did you have a curriculum or did you use what your home visiting curriculum was, or how did you do that?
Yeah, I used a lot of the baby talk curriculum, as well as, you know, the developmental milestones. I did a lot of research. I pulled a lot of information actually from a lot of, you know, different places and kind of went from there. And there's a neat component that they love to do where there's activities. If they complete the activities with their child, they upload a picture. I have an online like scrapbook picture collage where they write information, type information, add pictures. And at the end of each semester, I print it. And when they go through their whole child's age, you know, as they grow, they get a nice little at the end.
Wow, that's really cool. That's really, I mean, they may not appreciate it for 30 years or 20 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're really going to appreciate that at some point. That is so cool. Wow.
It is neat to watch them get really creative with it. Some of them just love doing it and just go really far with it.
That's really neat. Well, I hope that other districts hear this, you know, and want to replicate what you're doing, because I think that's awesome. I mean, that's why I wanted to interview you, really, because you figure things out and you find a way. You know, like when you started the program, tell us how you got it going as far as, you know, how did you get people involved or even just recruit people, you know, sure. to participate?
My biggest thing is going where the families are at. So I really, my feet hit the pavement. I started going into all the local resources. I would either go there or I would call, set up a time to meet with somebody. I wanted to know what was out there. And I learned so much just by going. I would just walk in and talk to them. Hey, can I attend your next staff meeting? Can I present at your next staff meeting? Because I really wanted to get the referrals going, but I also wanted to learn, like, what can you do for our families in the community? And then how can you help, like, refer families when you see them in need? And I met a lot of great community members that way.
What kinds of people would you go talk to, like community resource people? Like the health department or?
So the health department, yes, we go sit at the health department now. We have different recruitment days that we go on. So we go sit at the health department, the pop-up WIC clinics. We go to the food pantries and we actually have this like farm to table place here that is amazing. And cars line up and they get boxes of food once a week. And we go work that and we get to know people, but we also get to know what the resource is. Where I went in and to Salvation Army, Catholic Charities, the Chamber of Commerce, different churches, choices. I have a large list. I've met with landlords even now. I just make it a habit every summer now that I go down my resource list and I reconnect with them.
That's neat. That's awesome. Yeah. So they're your source of referrals for getting people into this program.
As well as finding out what can they do to help our, you know, families.
Families. Mm-hmm. And then how did you structure the program once you started it? As far as like, how often do you visit the people, the moms or dads?
Sure.
And, what happens?
So we visit them twice a month, but then there's some that are really high need and those might be three times in a week. It's really based off their need. We have a homeless shelter here that I've gotten quite a few families from, and those can be daily for a while. And so those high need ones, when I leave myself open, I like to go in and visit with them, or I have another home visitor that goes in there. It just depends upon their need. We may have one or two that may be monthly, and that's just because, hey, that family's doing great. The parents got a job and it's hard to, you know, mm-hmm. to plan around their schedule. But we start out, usually it's pretty active in the beginning, and then we move to visiting with them twice a month.
As they need. So what kind of needs do you see when they first get involved? These are people with newborns, some of them, right?
Right. Or even prenatal. We also do prenatal. So some of the, you know, highest needs have been they're at the homeless shelter and they're needing a place to live. So we go out and we talk with, you know, community and or even DCFS help provides housing. Other needs have been maybe even leaving a domestic violence situation. It could be they need help with their utilities, clothing for their child, food. But we've also had the basics like, hey, I'm doing okay, but I want to go back to school. How mm-hmm. can I go back to school and find childcare? So we work closely with Child Care Resource and Referral, and they help us find childcare, help us get them back to school. It could be for saving money for a car. I mean, with that, I can go into the goal planning that we write with these families.
I just wanted to say, you go above and beyond what most home visiting programs typically do, I think, though. I mean, you're really getting involved in their lives, it sounds like, and finding resources for them, as opposed to just coming in once or twice a month and sharing activities for their kids, right? I mean, it's way more than that. You're really a source of help and support for these people.
Thank you. I think it's just something that is near and dear to me. You go in and a family's in crisis, I don't know how you would not help.
Exactly.
Once you get that family out of crisis mode is when you can focus on the parenting skills, the family dynamics. I mean, we are building our future leaders with our children, and we have to get them out of that crisis mode so that they can learn and develop.
Yeah, so that they can function. Yeah, in society. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, all right. So tell me about the goal setting part.
Sure. So each family that we see, of course, we do several screenings. We do a developmental screener, a social emotional screener, hearing and vision on the children. We do a family resource assessment to see what the family's needs are and just really talk to get to know them. And after we do all that, then we create a family goal plan. And that family goal plan includes like three goals. One is parent-child interaction goal. We are really promoting parents to shut the TV off, get off their phone, sit down on the floor and play with your child. And so that is our parent-child interaction goal. The next goal is a development goal for the child. So based off those screenings, you know, and they need help with their language skills or they need help with fine motor, gross motor, whatever mm-hmm. it may be, we create a goal for that. And then the last goal is the family goal. And that's where that comes into what is the family's need? What is the first thing we can focus on? And I really enjoy doing all of that, the family need, because just for example, the family that wanted to, there was a mom that wanted to get her GED. You could say, we want to get our GED. But there are so many small goals or steps to get to that, finding childcare. Do you have transportation? Even just picking up the phone and making a phone call to set up that appointment to talk to the counselor. So we celebrate all those little steps along the way with the families.
How do you celebrate them?
Yay, you did it. You know, sometimes we put it out on our social media to bringing them a little special gift. I always like having little lotions and bath bombs for moms and whatnot. So, I mean, any way we can treat them just a little bit, but a lot of them just hearing, you know, words of affirmation or like praising them, you see mm-hmm. them light up.
Amazing. Wow. So tell me about the social media. How do you use social media in
sure.
your program?
So we have a school district Facebook page. Some parents started also a Birth to Three Facebook page. That's a private group. And we also have TikTok.
That's so cool.
It is. I love getting to know TikTok. So we use it to promote, here's our events, free to anyone in the community to come out and join our events. Everything's free. But we also use it to share like, hey, the food pantry is having food pickup day today. These people are hiring. But then we also use it for child development, just taking an activity, something simple they may have in their home, and showing them how to use it and telling them what they're teaching their child. The home visitors and I recently become certified car seat technicians. So we've been able to do a lot of fun TikToks on correctly installing car seats and information on that as well. So we're not only reaching our families, but we're reaching people, you know.
Random people out there. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. So what other kinds of things have you done TikToks on? I've seen some of them. Cool.
Just activities that they can do. Postpartum was a big one there for a while. Depression and self-help, especially when COVID was going on, just talking about keeping your mental state up and different things you can do to care for yourself. Our families drive it. What we see, what their need is, I just try and share it with everyone else because everybody's going through it.
And you just say, follow us on TikTok. And
yes.
That's so cool. So cool. So do you do that like every week you try to post something?
I was doing it every week for a while. I really need to get back on there, to be honest. We have some big news coming up that I'd like to share with you in a little bit. That's kind of been taking my time.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've seen some of your TikToks. I love them. You're so brave. I was like so impressed. Like, man, she's right on camera. You know, I guess I'm old. it'd be hard. It'd be hard to start making TikToks at my age.
It's a lot of fun.
It's really cool.
It's a lot of fun.
It's really cool. So when you originally started the program, you set it up so that they get 2 monthly visits in general, unless they needed more, if they're in crisis. And also, do they come to the school sometimes?
Yeah. Well, of course, we want to do it in their home if possible. But, you know, if somebody doesn't want us in their home, then we'll meet at the park. We'll meet at McDonald's. We'll meet at the school. But we also, where we're at, we have a Lindy library. We'll get into that, but we will meet here if needed. And if they need transportation, I write that into the grant to provide transportation to get them to our events or here for home visits.
You included that in your grant proposal, transportation. Mm-hmm. All the things you thought of.
Birth certificates, if they're thinking about that as well, helping pay for birth certificates for the families. Something else I included in the grant. That is a high need item.
What exactly, you know, do you mean by that? Like they haven't got a birth certificate because
of the cost. So we pay for it.
I didn't even realize there was a cost when you had a kid. You have to pay
it. It's getting more and more expensive. So being able to provide access to getting their birth certificate, it's something we need for the program, but also gets the parents what they need.
Wow. Cool. So you mentioned Baby Talk. Can you say a little bit more about what that is?
Baby Talk is the curriculum and the program that we follow. It is a wonderful program out of Decatur, Illinois. We're a Baby Talk affiliate, and it is their program. We go through an extensive training with them to run this program, and we use their curriculum and their guidelines, and they just have a wonderful approach.
So your home visitors all get trained in Baby Talk, and then they take it to the parents like every month as their child ages, there's new activities or new lessons or?
Yes, all of that. There is developmental milestones, there's activities that are aligned to Illinois Early Learning Guidelines, there's lessons. We do that twice a month. But also, you know, it's about the relationship piece too, as far as listening and walking alongside the families as well.
I see. So you're there at their home or wherever you're meeting to share some part of the curriculums, go through what their baby's now doing or should be doing at this age, and talking about what they can do to promote that, that development. And then you're spending the rest of the time just building the relationship with you and the parent.
Correct. Just walking alongside them, seeing what their needs are, teach them how to use items in their home to work on those developments. We also bring stuff into the home as well. We have this large lending library that we bring items in as well.
So tell me about the lending library. Is it just books? What are you lending?
Sure. So I had this huge vision of wanting families to have access to anything they're needing. So this lending library I wanted some backpacks to go into to be able to take into the homes that are like, you know, book toy backpacks, but that are this is fine motor, this is language building, this is gross motor, this is on barn animals, you know, whatnot.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm.
And I could not find anything out there. So I developed it myself, just created, we have over 100 book toy backpacks now. And I worked heavily with Lakeshore on it. I love their clear, heavy-duty backpack. So we started off with that, and then we made additional, almost additional other, we call monster backpacks. So they're these cute little monster backpacks. Those ones have 5 books each in them. So when they take it, they can read to their child twice. And then we pick it up, you know, every 2 weeks, because we're really promoting literacy and language in our program. I really see that there is language development is huge for, you know, young children, but there is so many children coming in not having that component.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can help that prior to preschool, then that's what we do. So the rest of the Living Library is just, it looks like a small preschool classroom, but for infants and toddlers, every item can be checked out. So there are toys on the shelves, there are books, it's just a fun little playroom, but everything. They can come in and say, you know what? I want to take that toy home and play with my child. Show me some ways I can use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then another area in the Lending Library that I wanted to promote was we have 2 desks and they each have computers and there's information with those desks. So families can come in that are like, you know, taking college courses, need access to the internet. Their child can play and they can work on that. It's also a resume building to finding apartments, to filling out, you know, for food stamps online, whatever it may be, we have that access. And then lastly, a need that I found was having a parenting section as well. So anything from going through, you know, divorce to wanting to cook fun, healthy snacks. We have a large variety of books in there for them.
So there's a lot for them. Wow. What do you do for events? You said you sometimes do events in the community.
Yeah. So we do play group once a month and we hold it in a variety of places, at the school, at parks. You know, we have a local church that has this great indoor playground at the YMCA, Douglas Heart, you name it. We try and get the families to the community so they can see what's out there. So we have play group once a month, and then we have that play group. We also have like the curriculum component. We have different activities, but then we also leave some time for other families to get to know each other so they can build those support systems they need.
So you do that intentionally, have it all different places in the community instead of just having it at the school. You do
Correct.
That intentionally to just expose them to their communities.
Yes.
Are the families that typically are enrolled in this, are they very low income families usually?
Yes.
Okay. So that's somehow designated as at risk or disadvantaged in some way. And that's what qualifies them for the program?
Yes.
I see. So it does make sense then to be like, you can go to this place, they have activities for your child, or you can go here and get books, or you can go here and get free healthcare or whatever, what, you know, immunizations or whatever, right?
One of them was even going to the public library. We work alongside them, but let's get yourself a library card. This is what you can do with it. Here's the activities. Here's when story time is and whatnot. So yeah. The other thing we do is we have parent education events, we call them. And that is once a month, we have a guest speaker come or we go where they're at. So for example, tomorrow, one of our parent education events is on nutrition. So we have like the U of I Extension office that comes in. We also have a home visitor that is a wonderful cook. The theme is like making healthy snacks and meal prep. She's actually out grocery shopping now, getting the items we need. Oh, they're going to get examples of how to make fun, healthy snacks, enjoyable for kids. But also, you know, she did one on meal prep. And what's kind of neat with the grant, what I love about it is every event we have door prizes or everybody gets something. So, you know, we've given away air fryers to crock pots to, you know, a vast majority of things when we have these. So, I mean, we just gave away a grill.
Wow.
Well, so we have family nights and these family nights are to promote parent-child interaction time, but also to get, you know, maybe there's people that can't attend during the day, or maybe dad's at work or mom's at work. So the ones they can get together. So we just did one at Douglas Heart. It's a local nature
preserve or whatever
preserve here locally. Mm-hmm. And so we went out, our family night, they spoke to all the families on nocturnal animals. And I know it's infant and toddlers and some preschool age, but they adapted it so well. There's so many places that do. And so nocturnal animals, let's go on a hike. Let's go feed the fish. Let's learn what's out here. This is free. You can come anytime. And then we had a weenie roast.
Oh, fun.
And it was so great to see the parents, you know, taking the hot dog, the sticks and cooking the hot dogs with them and making marshmallows with them. Wow. You know, every family that came, they got to eat dinner for free. We always try and provide that. But we also was able to raffle off a door prize, which is a grill. And that's the amazing. Dad loved that. So.
Wow. So where do you get all your door prizes? Do you have to purchase those yourself with the grant money? Or
I put it in for the grant.
I'll be darned. Wow. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
It's an incentive. It's huge. It's an incentive for them to come as well. Because sometimes, you know, you have to feed them. They'll come. Come get every.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great door prize that is going to be available. But I always make sure everybody leaves with something as well. So if we're, you know, playing with sidewalk chalk, everybody gets a bucket of sidewalk chalk. If we're, you know, the nutrition thing, they're going to take food home. They're going to have this food to take home and make it with them. So,
wow. So that's a huge grant then. I mean, obviously you are good at grant writing because, you know.
Well, I think you just have to use it wisely. You just have to stop and think, like, what is most important? I want to put as much money into these families and these events for them than mm-hmm. other things.
Yeah.
You know,
and you have to have incentives, I know, to get families to come out. What are some of the other incentives that I think other administrators might be interested in? How do you get parents to come to things? Because a lot of programs that I've talked to, they say, yeah, we have parent events, but only a couple families come.
Well, transportation is huge. Social media is huge. Reminding them, sending a text or a phone call the day of. We make a newsletter plus mail invites. But it's all based upon the theme. So we even have, annually Mom Self-Care Night, where we provide childcare. And there are tons of giveaways. I can't think of all of them. There's been such a variety. But the other thing that's great is, like, I also go in the community. So like Mom Self-Care Night, like, who could donate a massage? Who can donate a haircut? Who can come and do makeup mm-hmm. and donate, you know, raffle off things? So we mm-hmm. also get a lot of things from the community as well.
I'm guessing you found the community really supports what you're doing, right?
Yes.
I mean, the government or the city, they support what you're doing and try to hook you up.
They do. It took me a while, you know, getting to know them. But that's the big thing of taking the families where they're at. I think face-to-face is so very important. They get to know you, your program. But, you know, we're out here at, you know, like Liddell Park, and they're seeing our families and they're seeing the need, but they're having a good time. And, you know, so we just got like a discount price to rent the swimming pool for this summer if we want for an event. You know, having the families meet them, teaching the families not to be scared to go up and ask questions, being out there in the community face to face is huge, and it makes a difference. If there is a need, I put it out there and it is filled by this community now, from diapers to we've had a refrigerator purchased for a mom.
Oh.
They come out of the woodwork to help support.
And so where, how do you put it, quote unquote, put it out there?
Social media.
Okay. Social media.
Social media.
And you just get the word out. We have a family that needs such and such.
Yes.
Amazing. That's so cool.
Yes.
Is there program have a mission statement?
We do. It's pretty lengthy, but I can read you like the break, like small component of it. So it's our mission is to positively impact child development and nurture healthy parent-child relationships during a child's most critical years.
That's not that long. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't read it all.
Oh,
you want me to read it all?
No, that's the base. That's the main thing.
Yeah. That's the main
portion
of it.
And you said there's also highlight literacy and basically supporting child development, but really supporting the relationship, right? The parent-child relationship.
That is our biggest. So we also try to make a goal every year. Our goal this year, you know, I make it, I put it in a computer program, print it, laminate it, put it right there where the home visitors can see it, let our families know what our goal is. And our goal this year is parent-child interactions, where, of course, we have those. But the biggest thing I'm seeing is, you know, getting the parent off the couch on the floor to play.
Yeah. Yeah. And turning the phone off, right?
Yes.
It's hard for all of us. For all of us.
This year.
Yeah. I mean, how do you do that? That's just a question. I don't know if you can answer, but like, how do you get 18-year-old or a 20-year-old off her phone? You know, I mean, to pay attention to their kid.
I go in and I say, you know, this is a very short amount of time in your child's life. And I ask before we start the visit that the TV's off, the phone's, you know, on silent, and we're just going to focus just a small amount of time here and play with our child. And then here's the activity. And our goal, you know, to work on, we hand it to that parent and say, okay, you start the activity with this. And by handing it to them, it gets them involved, not just.
So you hand them what?
It may be a book. It may be a, you know, from the shape sorter, a little shape, anything like that.
And so you're kind of starting the back and forth exchange by saying, put this out there and let your child respond.
Yep.
That's cool.
Trying to make that change of where we come in and read the story and model, which is very important. But that's why our goal this year has changed a little bit. Like, we're going to hand it to the parent and say, you start. And then, you know, I did work with a mom and she was nervous to read in front of me and whatnot. And I said, you know, I walked her through it while she was holding it and just kept giving praise. You're doing a great job. Keep doing it. Even if they get up and run around, they're hearing you. It's okay.
Yeah. Wow. I wish I'd had that kind of support when I was a young mom. You know, I mean, I had a child development background and I still could have used that kind of support just to like, know what am I doing with my kid and keep me focused on the child,
right?
Focused on the, what the baby can be getting, because babies are tough and they're stressful.
They can be. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's another, we had a couple moms that offered to give other moms breaks if needed last summer, especially when like COVID was big. And it was really neat to see that these moms took it upon themselves to, hey, come to the park. You're going to be here at this time and you need a break. They just kind of started doing that exchange with.
How nice is that? Wow. That's awesome. So they're building relationships with each other. And I suppose there's all different levels of parents as far as experience and really young and
yes, we have a lot of grandmas raising grandchildren in our program as well.
Do you really?
So from teens to grandmas.
Wow. So you got intergenerational stuff. So what about the dads? How dads involved or are they involved?
We have a few single dads. I have a dad that shares custody, a teen dad that shares custody as well that's in the program. And it's just the dad that wanted to be in the program. But, you know, I'm just looking, thinking back of our family night at Douglas Heart and the dads that were there. And they love when we have the family nights because they, you know, they may be out working or whatnot. And they are so involved. And they told us, like, thank you so much. This was so much fun. You know, we're actually looking at doing a dad's night out since we do a mom's night out. We've been thinking about doing a fun activity where dads just bring the kids as well. For the ones that need dads, getting community members to come and work, you know, do that. But they really seem to enjoy the program.
That's awesome. So how do you provide transportation? Do you use the school buses to pick people up?
Nope. For transportation, we have cabs. We have dial-a-ride, just community transportation.
How many parents would you say end up needing that?
When we have an activity, there's always maybe two or three.
Yeah. So you just are able to send a ride for them.
Yep. We just tell them to let us know you need a ride. We set it up. We've worked with the company enough. We pay when they get here.
Cool. Wow. Yeah. Nice. Let's see. What else did I want to, do you have any particular case studies or examples of, you know, a family without naming names that you, you know, really feel like you made a difference with?
My very first family still is near and dear to my heart. I had this family. I had their siblings as a special ed teacher as well. But this was a single mom that at times got stressed out and needed breaks that was working so hard. And I love that she worked really hard to get her GED. Wow. And then she got a full-time job. And then she started college courses. That is one of my favorite stories. I'm probably not even doing it justice. Just knowing where she started when her kids were little to, you know, how far she come. And she went through a lot as a single mom and, you know, from even a relationship that had domestic violence. Mm-hmm. I'm just so proud of her. And I still see her to this day. Her kids are no longer in the Birch 3 program, no longer in preschool, but she's just an amazing person. Another one that I think of, and this has happened a couple times, but I can think of the very first family that we got out of the homeless shelter. And just, you know, they were struggling and they really needed to get out. Granted, they have family rooms there. You know, they can only stay for so long. And how DCFS walked alongside with us and helped get housing for this family. And the dad was able to get a job. And, you know, that child went through the Birch 3 program and is now in our preschool program. Mm-hmm. And just seeing them, they just got their first home.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So every time I see them, it just gives me goosebumps. There's so many great stories, though. It could be where they even save to get a car or, you mm-hmm. know, a TV. But those are two of the biggest stories that sticks with from the beginning.
Wow. That's a huge need. I mean, getting college, getting a house, or getting even just getting a car is, I mean, that's pretty hard when you're young and strapped and you got little ones. I don't even know how people can work half the time, you know? I mean, so you help them line up childcare. I mean, you just walk through whatever they need. That's amazing. What about the prenatal? Like if you get somebody, you find out about somebody that's expecting, how do you find those people?
What's funny is now that we have them, a lot of them come, you know, that have come pregnant. We have their multiple children, but local communities refer, our community members refer. A lot of them are teen moms mm-hmm. Or young moms, and Baby Talk provides a curriculum for that as well. And I love it. It goes through and you get to see the pictures of what the baby's, how it's developing. And there's an area for like how are the mom's doing, concerns. There's a nice little journal component as well that they get to create a booklet that we put together for them when they have the baby. They're a lot of fun as well. I really enjoy the prenatal.
Well, so you might even have connections like the maternity ward at the hospital. You reach out to different hospitals and stuff.
Yeah, we talk with the hospitals. We get different referrals. We have doctors that even Carl from Champaign refers if there's a family in need that they see.
So I'm curious, like you said, when you're out in the community and you like are doing an activity in the park and people see that you're there, and how do you publicize who you are? Do you just have your events or do you put up a sign? This is the, you know, Birth to Three program or?
We've done both. We publicize, put up events, but really we're just doing the activity. If we see somebody, you know, that is like, hey, what are they doing? Hey, we're having this free event. Come on over. If they're playing with their child in the park or whatnot, popsicles, come on over, have your child get a popsicle, check out what we're doing today.
It's like goodwill in the community.
It is. And we make sure we wear our Birth to Three, our Mattoon School District shirt. So we're not just some stranger.
Oh, I see.
Of course, you know, but we do have gear that we wear to show that we're staff with the school district and we have our badge on and whatnot.
Very cool. But
a lot of people know who we are now.
That's amazing. Really quick. And we got to wrap up soon because I'm noticing you've shared so much. And I wanted to ask, are there ever situations where you have concerns about a child's development and you have to help them find other services for special needs?
Or? Yeah. We refer to early intervention after we assess if needed. And then they create their goal plan. We create ours. And then we work alongside them.
Oh, okay.
So what is the goal that you create or whatnot? And we work alongside them.
So they might be an early intervention and part of the Birth to Three program.
Yes.
Cool. What do you see for the future of this program?
The future. So Mattoon School District has opened a new building called Lift. And Birth to Three is actually moving to Lift. A new building will be on the first floor.
Nice.
And in that, there is a small childcare lab. So we're going to have like a daycare, but a lab, and our teen parents will get free childcare there to attend high school.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Subsidy program. Yeah. So it is region wide. There are several, I can't even give you a number of other school districts that will be sending their students here to learn. And so we're going to be able to reach out and reach so much further.
Amazing. So students will come, high school students will come to Lift to do child development learning?
So we will. So on the first floor, it will be child development. They'll be able to come in and we'll be teaching early childhood courses. Well, like from birth to age three. And the students will, you know, leave with a level one credential, some dual credit courses. They will be hands-on with the childcare lab. They will be able to walk alongside, you know, a developmental therapist, a home visitor. You know, they get to really go in and experience, is this something I want to go further with and be able to earn?
Wow. And these are high school students, right?
Yes.
That's so cool. And it's not just the Mattoon District?
Correct. There's several districts involved.
That's really cool. Is that the exciting news you're going to share?
Yes.
And it is very
excited.
Wow. So you're going to have a bigger space, more families you'll be able to serve.
Yes.
Cool.
And if you're interested in learning more about Lyft, you can go to Mattoon School District.
I will. And what you've started in Mattoon is probably going to be replicated in all these other districts now.
Well, they're sending students to us, so we'll see. Yeah. sending lots of students to us. But I'm just so excited to have more people showing interest and kids being able to go out and get into the early childhood field, because it is so very important.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Perfect. And everybody recognizing the importance of that.
It's genius, because you're taking care of teen parents' kids at the same time. And people are getting training out of it. That's amazing.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I've learned a ton, and I know our listeners have learned a ton. I mean, look at all the things we've talked about. I'm just scrolling through all my notes. You got an amazing program. This is why I wanted to have this podcast, because more people need to hear about what you're doing. If anybody wants to contact you and track you down, what would your contact information be?
So you can always email me at Mattoon School District. It's Katrina, K-A-T-R-I-N-A, Ferris. F as in Frank, A-R-R-I-S, at mcusd2.com.
Okay. Where do they find you on TikTok?
So for TikTok, it is Birth to Three Babes 3.
Birth to Three
Babes.
It's all spelled out.
Uh-huh. Babes, B-A-B-E-S 3.
Uh-huh.
Or you can search my name, Katrina Ferris.
Okay, cool. See if you get a bunch more listeners or watchers, whatever, viewers. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I will put you on. Our podcast will go out later in this week, and everybody will hear more about your program. I'm so excited for everything you got going on. I really am. I'm really excited. And I'm going to sign off, say goodbye, and thanks again. This has been another episode of Every Child's Champion Podcast. For a copy of all our show notes from today, just go to www.synapseearlylearning.com and click on podcasts and show notes. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Oh, and keep filling up those emotional piggy banks. Why? Because love lights up the brain, and connections really do matter. You're not only a teacher, you are an attachment figure, a secure base. You really are making a difference. Be well, everyone. Stay safe out there. Talk to you soon.